Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, January 15th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 72. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, having made our personal inventory, and ends in the preceding chapter. Today's readers, for the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Christina L., readers of the text, Nancy P., Penny C., our backup, Vanessa G., our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and our second hour host is Colleen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,076. That's 22076. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,077. That's 22077. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
This is Mary Ann H., recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admit it, we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I'll pass and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mary Ann H. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Christina L., recovering compulsive overeater from Florida. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pat.
Thank you, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the recovery, on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in Chapter 6, Into Action, on page 72. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins, having made our personal inventory, and ends in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. And I'll now ask Nancy P. to please begin reading.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now, these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. Okay, you'll time me, please. So there's a couple of things in here. I was thinking about what I would say about this because it seems like it's not as substantial as some other chapter, some other paragraphs. But I do have some things to say. And starting with, I don't like the word admit. I don't like it in the first step, and I don't like it anywhere else that I see it in the book. And the reason I don't like it is because it's grudging. And I spent a long time trying to do this any other way except the way that it says in the book. And it's like if someone says, admit it, you were wrong. And I'm like, okay, all right, I was wrong. I need to embrace all these things. Embracing means to hold them close. I need to embrace them as hard as I can. And So that's kind of where my mind is on that word, that I have to do it more wholeheartedly than just barely admitting it or just admitting it at all. I have to really be in, with both feet. Excuse me. And about the fifth step, this is the step that starts into action. So to me, the fourth step isn't really action yet. It's sort of like if you're going to go out and run a marathon, go to work, do your grocery shopping or anything like that, until you start doing that stuff, you're not really doing it. So making a list is all well and good, but it's not really the substance of my recovery. And that brings me to the last part of what I want to say is the most substantial for me is I cannot do this stuff myself. And this is a place and time where, in this step, where it's the first sort of significant, substantial place where I'm engaging with another human being. Excuse me. I was talking to a newcomer. I called a newcomer, I don't know, a week or two ago, and how you doing? And she's not new to OA, but she's new to Vision, and she said, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to start doing that. And I said, may I give you some my insight? And yes, of course, please. And I said, if you think you can do this yourself, you're going to fail. And the reason I know that is because that's what I did. And my attitude was, get away from me and leave me alone. And everybody in OA said, no problem. And it's only my, you know, my luck that everybody, when I was ready to embrace fellowshipping as a way of life, they all came back like butterflies. You know, they all came back ready to embrace me, ready to take me into the fold, ready to help me. And so I don't do anything myself. As it says in the last chapter, I seek counsel from others. I talked about that not too long ago when I shared. And that is one of the most valuable things that I do. And all of this work depends on one thing and one thing only. I always say this, say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. But I will say this, the rest of these steps between 1 and 12 make it prepare me. You know, the first 11 steps prepare me to work step 12. Step 12 allows me to work the first 11 steps. But all of the steps except for the first step are so that I won't forget the first step, so that I won't forget that I'm powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable whether I'm eating or not. And I was talking to another newcomer yesterday, someone who called me who's not in OA. She's agnostic, so those people all call me. And she said, what am I going to do? And I said, you know, spirituality doesn't mean God to me. I need this stuff. I need to do this so that I can live a life of sane and happy usefulness. And I can say, I'll wrap up. I can say for sure that today my life is happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And that is what's available to every single person on this line, as long as you surrender. And don't forget that you're a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. Thanks for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every their experience too. So if you've shared on any of the Vision meetings, Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Christina J., North Carolina.
Christina J.
Kelly F.
Kelly. Anybody else? Okay.
Chris,
start with
Gina from Michigan.
Gina
from Michigan.
Gotcha, Gene.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go with Christina J, Kelly S, and Gene M. Christina, you're up, followed by Kelly.
Morning, Lisa. Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. So up to now, I've been trying to get this new attitude, going through the steps and did this fourth step thing, which was really hard. I wanted to try to get that sunlight of the spirit, which when I first came in, that was the paragraph you all were on, and I knew that was my problem. I didn't ever feel that. I wanted this deeper relationship with the Creator. I had no idea that I didn't have a decent relationship with the Creator. In fact, I didn't know that for a long time, even after doing this step. And discover the obstacles. I've been to a lot of people. I've been to a lot of therapist-type people. I've been to a lot of church stuff. I've been to a lot of spiritual circles where I've been in diet programs or all these places. I sit around and talk about the obstacles in my path or in the way of why I keep eating. And, you know, I've discovered that there's obstacles, and I've even looked at some emotional things throughout my life, but nothing has done it for me like this fourth step. And I can't stop at the fourth step. I got to give it away to someone else. And that scared the poops out of me because I had to tell people about, you know, some of these things that I was ashamed of. But that makes me vulnerable and humble. And also, I never saw character defects until I did the fourth step. I didn't even know it was selfish, self-centered, dishonest, or fearful was. I didn't know about those. And when I saw those in the fourth step, that was fabulous. And my sponsor opened up some things to me about that, you know, by doing this fifth step and giving them away. And then doing the sixth and seventh, where I give them to God, I begin to have that new relationship with God. I begin to see who I really am. I see the exact nature of those defects. But until I did this big book work, all the diet programs where we talk about our crap, and all the therapists, and nobody gave me a plan of action to unveil, uncover these things and what to do with them. You know, what to do with them. I knew about so many things about myself, but what am I going to do with them? I can't force myself to be a better person. I can't force an attitude change. These action steps open that up for me, and I don't have to do anything but take them. I don't have to force them. And in doing these things, my heart opens to who I really am, and I see who I am and how I've been acting. My heart opens, and I begin to have a relationship with something deep inside myself, and I want to be a better person. Now that I know what's blocking me, I can begin to unblock those things, those character defaults that I've been using to survive in the world, the obstacles. So I'm so grateful that I don't have to go and beat myself against the wall with another therapist. And I know therapists are good and they serve a purpose, but I can go to God. I have this program and these fellows, and it's free. It's free. I just got to take action. What do I pay? I pay by surrendering. Thank you for letting me share. Love you all.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. And Kelly S., you're up, followed by Jean M.
Hey, good morning, Lisa. Thanks. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, into action. So we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. Wait, what? That's what we've been trying to do? I don't know about you guys, but I just came in here to lose some weight and get my eating under control. I had no idea for decades that that's what I was supposed to be trying to do. In fact, I'm not really sure that's what I wanted to do, right? You know, when I really looked at that, and you know, I'm always saying that, you know, it's like, well, I didn't get that message. I've been in these rooms for 42 freaking years. I didn't hear the message. Well, this book was written in 1938. This paragraph has been in there. You know, sometimes I don't see what I don't see, and I don't know what I don't know, and I didn't understand. Because I just so bad wanted to be thin and my eating to under control. You know, I've been over 100 pounds overweight most of my life. I've been bulimic. I've been in treatment. I just wanted that crazy to stop. That was my problem. We wanted to get closer to God. I did. I did not want to, but I just wanted this crazy eating to stop, right? And it took so much work and so many relapses, sadly, but that's where it was for me to get to my knees, to understand, to have open ears and an open heart to hear this. Because, I mean, there's this new paragraph in the doctor's opinion that just really stood out to me this time through that talks about the doctor's opinion, one that's telling us we have to put the food down, right? 100% black and white. But the doctor whose hands he's thrown up says, you know, in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. He didn't say to get sober. He said to recreate their lives. You know, it's about a design for living. It's not a design for weight loss. And all this time, that was my goal. And until I really realized that I had a spiritual malady, that food wasn't my problem, it had been my solution, that I needed a higher power, I needed a better solution, I needed God for me. I needed a God that was going to help me with this eating, this problem that I could not stop, right? And it says, it requires action. So many times in this book when I went through this time with my sponsor, I'm like, how many times is it going to say, and that is now there's more action. I'm like, more action? My God, this program takes some work. But you guys, my disease took so much work, right? So now I do have a new attitude. I do have a new relationship with my creator. I see these dang obstacles daily, daily. This is why I have to continue this work on a day-to-day basis, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition, right? So guess what? That is what this whole thing is about. The entire point of this book is to get a relationship with God so we can stop this crazy eating, this crazy behavior, right? That's not the problem. Just took me I have a little over 2.5 years now. Just took me a long time to hear the message. Hopefully it won't take you, but if you've been out there as long as me, I'm going to give you guys some hope. Read the book with an open heart and an open mind and do the work like it's laid out in the big book and take the action. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly S. From Oklahoma. And Jean M., please share with us.
This is Jean M., a compulsive overeater from Michigan. And I don't know exactly what I want to say this morning. It's just that I am really appreciating everyone's service this morning and everyone's shares. And I had been having a rough time. I just joined OA in September, late September. I was doing pretty good there for a while. Worked the steps, went through them, did all that I needed to do, and was on track pretty well. Got a food plan going, and then the holidays came, and I took a vacation, and one thing led to another, and I've just been having a hard time getting reconnected to my higher power and reconnected to my spiritual program. And one of the things that I really need to do is to get to more meetings and connect with people. Those efforts, not talking about the 12 steps, but the efforts to reach out to people and share recovery issues and support one another is so important. And I so appreciate the people that are sharing this morning and then from the other meetings that I've attended this week. And it's so helpful. And it's a wonderful program. And it's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work. And I get that. I am still dealing with my own denial that I can do this on my own. That was part of what I faced coming up out of the holidays, is I thought I could still do it on my own. I thought I could have some of those red light foods and manage them. Well, I can't. And I'm figuring that out. And with God's help, I will, you know, continue to get a program going that's going to work for me and that will enable me to recover from this craziness, because I don't like it at all. And it takes me down in so many ways. And all I wanted to say is, and I'm so grateful for Vision Meetings. I'm so grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this morning. And I'm grateful for my sponsor. And I'm especially grateful for my relationship with my higher power. I don't know what I would do without that. And I'm working on deepening that relationship and depending on it even more than I do now. I realize that is where it's all at. And everyone that might be new listening to this, please stick with it. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. And I wish you all the best. God bless you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean M. from Michigan. And we are on page 72 on the first paragraph that begins, having made our personal inventory, and ends, mentioned in the preceding chapter. Who else would like to share this morning?
Dara F.
Dara.
Ginger C.
Shanna.
Shanna
Ginger.
C, Tennessee.
Shanna. I have Dara F, Ginger C, Shanna C. Anybody else? Okay, Dara F, you're up, followed by Ginger C.
Hi, this is Dara F, calling from Virginia. And, yeah, I just actually did another fifth step just this past weekend. And afterwards, I read over the steps and pretty much, you know, made sure that my foundation of the steps was good. And I kind of wondered, like, okay, so where do I go from here? So I noticed yesterday that I was irritated that the house is dirty. And, you know, the people I live with, my husband and children, tend to be clutter bugs, and there's stuff all over. And instead of trying to deal with that, bringing it to God and with a practical, you know, way about it, either I have to clean up and do something about this, organize the family, or get some outside help in to help clean and organize. I just sort of snapped at my husband and said, can you please, like, go through this mail pile and get rid of it? I didn't even ask it that way. I said, like, Andy, can you get rid of this mail pile? And as soon as I said it, I thought, that came out with no warning. And I've been, like, just building this stuff up. And before, I've always felt, like, helpless, like a victim. Like, what am I going to do? I live with a bunch of slobs. It's my problem. Now that's coming out as a character defect to me, that I'm living as a victim. So I wrote on my action list today to try and find somebody who could come in and clean the house once a month. And that seems like a more spiritual solution to my problems than griping at my husband and my kids or feeling like a victim and having to do it all myself. And it's things like that, I believe, that in my fifth, sixth, and seventh step that will move me forward towards spiritual growth, seeing not how I can change other people and make my life more comfortable, but what can I do to accept life the way it is and find actual solutions to things that exist in my world that are more spiritual kind and don't involve nagging and bullying and feeling sorry for myself. So, yeah, self-pity I'm finding is a big one for me that I'm having to dig out of. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Dara F. from Virginia. And Ginger C., you're up, followed by Shanna C.
Ginger, yeah, hi. I'm sorry. Can you go to Shannon first?
Oh,
thank you.
Shanna, can you share first?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thanks,
Shanna. See, grateful. Yeah. Takes a minute to unmute, so thank you. Anyway, yeah, this is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And grateful for this meeting, grateful for these steps, grateful for the clarity that these steps bring and that this big book brings, because, man, I can get really heady about this kind of stuff. First of all, it says flat out in black and white that the object of this is to get a new attitude and a new relationship with my Creator. So the current relationship up until this point, it doesn't mean that it's bad. It just that my relationship with my Creator or that my attitude is so bad that I'm beyond reach. It just means I need to get a new one. And I don't have to beat myself up so bad for you know, getting to the point that I needed more help because I continue to grow, because this disease ultimately is progressive. It is fatal. It's going to continue to progress regardless if I'm eating or not. I'm not cured of compulsive overeating. I'm not cured of the defects. And so anyway, what this paragraph is talking about, at least for me anyway, you know, well, I've made this personal inventory. I've written all this stuff down. I can see by this time I've ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is, admitted certain defects. The whole point of this for me, from my understanding, is so that I can be properly armed with the facts about myself, so that I can identify with that newcomer, so that I can help that newcomer or person who still suffers. They don't necessarily have to be new. They can still be suffering from this thing, you know, and I can, you know, be helpful so that when I'm helping them, I can identify with them, because in helping them, I get the help I need. And it talks about this stuff being cast out. I used to think what that meant was that these defects should be gone. And if they're not gone, then, you know, throw the baby out with the bath while the program doesn't work. No, what is cast out for me has been the delusion that I should be perfect, the delusion that this is curable, that if I work these steps hard enough and perfect enough, that I'm not going to have these defects no more. No, what happens is I get to see more clearly how defective I really am. I get desensitized to the defects. Yes, I'm pretty garden variety here. This crap's cropping up again. Yes, you're not alone in the world anymore, newcomer. Yes, I've been a liar, cheat, and a thief myself. You're not alone. Here's how I got to the other side of it. How can I help you? I'm willing to help you. And in helping them, more is revealed in me. The more humble I get, the more God-reliant I become, the more grateful I am for the grace that is bestowed upon me, and the more the miracle it becomes that I'm not compulsively overeating. That's the whole point, is so that I'm fitted to be of maximum service to those about me, particularly in recovery, and so that my life is created, because when I put my recovery first, everything else becomes first class. Thank you. And my life gets better because I'm not digging in it, because I'm helping someone else. Thanks. So I have.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And Ginger C., can you share with us?
Good morning. Thank you. This is Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. And it says, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. And to me, I know we're talking about the fifth step and certain ways that I behave when I feel threatened or hurt in my third column, and where I can go, because I resort back to the familiar and I protect and take care of me. But really, this obstacle is just my selfishness, my self-centeredness. And Ginger's always in the way. And thank God that this higher power works. I'm just so grateful to be on the line again, sharing another day that I've woken up clean and clear and out of the food, for someone who just returned from a horrific relapse. My message is more for the person who's eating and who's in the pain today and thinking that this is never going to happen for them. And I just say, don't give up. You have no idea the grace of this wonderful God and how God works. And I wish it were as simple as putting down the food, and I say it often, get in the car and get going. I tried many times, waking up. I'm determined not to eat. And within hours, I was back into the food and hitting my hand on the bar just like Bill. How did it happen again? How did I go back so fast? And to be here with you again this morning is just unbelievable, but it is about, you got to get clean and clear. And that's what my sponsor said, Ginger, if it doesn't come in, it's not going to take you out, you know? And I have this really delusional thinking that somehow that I'm immune or that I'm a little different, you know, that I'll be okay. I can still partake in this party with food. And I'm just so grateful that God finally helped me to get the first step, because the truth of the matter is I never in 30 years took the first step. And I've been in AA for 34 years. It is the one thing I hear over and over. If you don't get the first step 100%, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to get this. So I am just blown away still by my story of how God did for me what I couldn't do because I couldn't get step one. And God finally helped me to get it. And I'm just so grateful again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, to not be eating. Because when I eat, I die. And I don't want to die today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. from Colorado. We have lots of time. We are on page 72, the first paragraph, beginning having made our personal inventory and ending mentioned in the preceding chapter. Who else would like to share this morning?
Lynn S. Tennessee.
I heard Lynn S.
K S.
Sorry, somebody else. K?
Yes.
Oh, good. Lynn S. K S. Who else?
Stephanie R.
Somebody R. Stephanie?
Yes.
Oh, great. Anybody else? Okay. Lynn S., you're up, followed by K.S.
Good morning. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I was just sitting here remembering back, and I came into program on May the 9th, 1989, and the despair and the misery of my life was lifted overnight. I kind of got zapped, and it was wonderful. And I'd heard about this fourth step thing, but in typical Lynn S. fashion, I announced to everybody, I'm not doing that fourth step. I have been happy for the first time in my life, and I'm not doing it for a year. And I didn't. And I sat there in my happiness, my pink cloudness, the food was down. The weight was coming off, which wasn't the issue for me. I came in not to lose weight. I'd lost 100 pounds the first time at 16 and then continued for the next 20 years to go up and down. My bounce was 140 pounds up and 140 down or 80 or 2 or whatever. But the point was, I sat there for a year at least thinking, you know, I got this thing, but I am happy and nothing is changing it. And I was happy because the food was down and it wasn't calling me and I was losing weight and I was enjoying life differently. And I was finally from being an outcast in society because I had cast myself out. And the world and I just didn't get along to finding a place where I fit in. And I did get along and I sat there. But I only got along in my still deluded world, you know. And yeah, I knew there was kind of something wrong with me. I knew there were certain defects and I had ascertained in a rough way what the trouble was. You know, the trouble was everybody else. And maybe, yeah, there were a few things I had thought wrong because now I'm in love with God and isn't this wonderful and all this jazz. But I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue, but I was doing it my way. There was still that I'm doing it my way. You don't understand. It's different for me. I got this thing. I'm doing it my way. And just sitting here reading this today, thinking how I'm doing this right now. And what I mean by I'm doing this right now is even this morning, I want a new attitude with my Creator. I want a new relationship with my Creator. I want to discover the obstacles in my path that are having me spin like a top. I still have certain defects, but we've got a way out now. We've got a way out, and it's always been the hardest thing, admitting it to God, no problem, admitting it to somebody else, no problem, admitting it to Lynn S., a recovered compulsive already in Toronto, Canada, big problem. So glad I'm here. So glad I'm doing what it says to do in the book. Maybe finally now after all these years, but it goes deeper and deeper. And this relationship with my Creator, holy moly, It's pretty darn great. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. from Canada. And KS, you're up, followed by Stephanie R.
Good morning. This is KS, recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. There's so much in this paragraph, and some words that popped out to me as well as others: obstacles, defects, weak items. And when I am looking at my life and myself through my eyes that are limited, I see those as indictments of what a terrible person I am. It's hopeless. And yes, my powerlessness over food is hopeless, and over other things too, but that doesn't mean I'm a terrible person. And when I did the fourth step, I really had a new experience with my selfishness and self-centeredness, and it was painful, and it took a long time to process through that. And what really jumped out was, I can't remember what page it's on, but when Bill's talking about selfishness, self-centeredness, this is the root of our problems. And he goes on to say, you know, we can't get rid of it. We can't even reduce it much on our own power. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is completely hopeless. But there's a freedom in that too. And that is, I didn't ask to be this selfish person. I didn't say I want to be a terrible, selfish, self-centered person. This is how I am. I don't know why. I don't know why I can't reduce it. I can act like an unselfish person. I can do unselfish things. But I can't remove this selfishness. So in this paragraph, when he talks, they're talking about the line, these are about to be cast out. So that's, I'm the object of that. I'm not the one doing that. This is action that's happening on my behalf. And then it says, this requires action on my part. And that's the name of the game for me in this whole program. And my sponsor says, you know, at the intersection of willingness and grace. So the willingness means I have to be willing to do my part. The grace means that is something being done to me, coming to me as a gift. And that helps me to realize I'm just human. I'm not perfect. I'm not such a grand person that I'm not going to have defects. I'm not going to be able to, you know, take care of them by myself. And I've heard this great analogy over the years about a life being like a tapestry, that we see the front of the tapestry, which is beautiful and smooth and perfect. But if you turn it over and look at the back, you see all these knots and tangles. And I can relate so much to that. But again, I didn't create the trouble. I participate in the trouble, but this is just who I am. I'm a perfectly made creation of this perfect creator. And, you know, I just am human. So it's just very freeing to know that if I take action, if I admit to God, to myself, and to another human being, that will begin to free these defects and loosen them from me, and they can be cast out, and I can live this life that does give me a new attitude, and yes, a deeper, more wonderful relationship with the creator, my creator, that created me. And I'm just so grateful for this information, that I can stop beating up on myself and thinking that I should be perfect, because that's self-absorption too, you know, the emphasis on I need to be perfect. Anyway, this is such a powerful paragraph, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, KS from North Carolina. And Stephanie R., please share with us.
Hello, thank you so much for hearing me. This is Stephanie R., a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Missouri. When I first came into program and was looking at doing the four steps, the first thing I thought is, well, I haven't done anything horrible to anyone else. Everybody's been horrible to me, and how could this be something that I need to really look into? And it was truly sitting and just thinking about my actions of not being present. When I would agree to go somewhere and then look in the mirror and say, You look horrible and just so focused on the outside that I was never available to my friends, to my family, and I isolated. This disease for me really, really took away so many years because I was so stuck in the isolation, feeling like I was just such a perpetual victim. And it was not until I understood that I had a miraculous relationship with a power greater than myself, and I could have a life that was, I felt a part of, first I had to feel a part of OA, and when I was able to grow some roots and become willing to see that I was a being that God created just as I am, that I was able to go out from OA and be a part of the community and really be able to be myself, authentically myself. I share that frequently, that the grace of this program has given me the ability to just see how beautiful I am as a person, not because I did anything, but because God created me that way. And when I was able to live in the sunlight of the Spirit, boy, just miracles truly did unfold in my life. So the four step, when I really looked at it, I saw where I was extremely selfish in not being really involved in life in the way that could bring joy to others and joy to myself. So I have such gratitude that I came into this program, and I work it so diligently because that's how I get this beautiful life that I have today, that's full of gratitude, humility, and just the willingness to be of service to others in whatever way I can. So, and it gets down to myself. What a beautiful gift. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. And we have time for three more shares. Anybody else like to share this morning?
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Kathy S.
Kathy S. Anybody else?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa, thanks. All right, Chris G., you're up, followed by Kathy S.
Okay, I'm Chris G., I live in Tennessee, and I didn't want to share today. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, it doesn't say I have to tell everything to everybody. It says I have to tell God and myself and one, my sponsor. That's it. That's it. Well, that's not it. So I heard a speaker say she had been married 5 times. And boy, that made me feel good. That made me feel great that she had been married 5 times. She looked like an ordinary person. She had a college graduate. She was, you know, she was an ordinary person. And that made me feel good. Well, I had been hiding something. I asked, somebody I've been attending meetings with for a long time. I said, how many times do you think I've been married? And she said, maybe 2. You talk about your ex-husband all the time. When you tell stories, you say my ex-husband this and my ex-husband that. But I didn't name names. Well, I don't have to name names. But I'd been married and divorced. And I realized that was a fact. There's facts about people. And that I could maybe make somebody else feel better, like somebody made me feel better. The facts are facts, and I don't have to, you know, but I find myself hiding things still. I wanted to hide that I'd been ill, and I didn't want to tell everybody that I'd been sick. Well, that's a fact, you know. So if I take the facts for what they are, I don't have to hide them. And it is freeing. And it is sometimes helpful. And I don't know who it's going to help, telling the facts. So I still want to hide things that might make me look bad or that I think I should keep private. And I don't have to go throwing them in your face, but I don't have to hide them either. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Chris G. from Tennessee. And Kathy S., you're up, followed by Vanessa G.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And what really stood out for me in this paragraph is just really reflecting. I had no, like others have shared, I had no idea what I was in for. I just came into OA wanting to get control of the food issues, my binging. I didn't understand it. And but the funny thing was, is I spent my whole life, ever since I was little, I just always wanted to be someone else. If only I was someone else, then I would be happy. And I tried so many ways to be different. And, you know, like tried changing my body, Tony Robbins conferences, self-help books and programs, diets, mission trips, exercise programs, you name it. I feel like I tried it and nothing worked. And here in this paragraph, it's telling me, you know, this is actually part of the process. This is so much bigger than food. This is getting a whole new life, something I have always dreamed about. And I'm here as a testimony to say that it really does work. and this process, when thoroughly taken, you know, when I take the inventory and again, it the approach is that it kind of on the surface looks like this is going to be about other people, all the people that have harmed me. And then you go a little further in the columns and it's like, oh, it's realizing where my defects are and my weak items that need to be gotten rid of. And I can't cast them out, but this is the beginning of the process of how it works. And what we need to do in action just by sharing it, you know, writing it out with God, and then sharing it with another person in this constructive format. You know, it's not about beating myself up and degrading myself and shaming myself and telling everybody everything. You know, it's very constructive, and I take a look at it. And then the rest of the steps go about casting it out, which is a life process. It does not happen. It does not happen overnight. But I have seen major shifts in the short 4.5 years that I've been entirely abstinent, big changes in some of these grocery handicaps and how I'm handling my instincts and who I'm depending on to get them met. You know, as I continue to develop this relationship with God, my whole world is changing. And the people about me seem to change, but it's only out of their response to me and my changes. So it's amazing and it works. And I'm just so grateful. And thank you for letting me share with that. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. And Vanessa, you have about 2.5 minutes. Please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. New attitude, new relationship. You know, the first time that I came across, the first time that I went through the steps, that new attitude, that new relationship meant actually believing or trying to believe in something bigger than myself, in some type of higher power, some type of God. And although I didn't know what that was going to be, I found that when I made that decision and started to go through this process, and I still remember how I made that decision. I made that decision on my knees in a women's bathroom at my place of work. When I started to go through this process, I found the ability to do things that I hadn't been able to do before. And that attitude, that relationship started to give me power, the power to get honest in my fourth step, the power to get honest with someone else in my fifth step, and then eventually the power to make things right in my ninth step after going through the rest of the steps. That new attitude, that new relationship, what I have found over the years is that it has to grow. It has to be new. And I have to be constantly looking to deepen that relationship. find out more about what it means to depend upon, you know, the God that within my my higher power. And every day, hopefully, that will continue to grow for me. I have experienced a lot of trouble in Overeaters Anonymous because I don't think I ever really, truly understood that that relationship had to deepen into other areas of my life, such as compulsive overeating, such as the other addictions that I've come into. When I have fully understood it, recovery has come. It has to be an ongoing process for me every day. I have to be new every day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G., and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, January 15th, 2025, is 22,079. That's 22079. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Penny C., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive until, keep you until then.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Lisa. I am Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.